In this pilot episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
I like flopped on the ground, crawled into the lake, face down, chugging the water.
Salah Hadeem personally lowers the level of Lake Michigan by about an eighth of an inch. And Adriana Sanchez tries to figure out why a mysterious clinking sound is coming from her three-year-old sister's head.
And she shakes her head. She's like, cling, 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 cling. That's all you hear.
All of those stories coming up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Welcome to My Michigan Story. Since this is our very first episode, I'll take a quick minute to introduce myself and the concept of the show. I was born and raised in East Lansing and studied documentary filmmaking in college. In 2005, I headed to Fairbanks, Alaska to teach filmmaking at the university up there. In 2014, I got the idea to start a storytelling show in Alaska called Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. It was well received, so when I moved back to Michigan in 2023, I was obsessed with the idea of starting a similar show here. I presented the idea to WKAR in East Lansing, and lucky for me, they were willing to take a chance on me and become the presenting station for this show. I hope you enjoy the show and that you'll submit your true story from Michigan to me, which you can do on our website, mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. See what I did there? M-I instead of M-Y. Anyway, our first story today comes from Salah Hadeem. I've found that a lot of great stories happen when people try to do difficult things that they are utterly unprepared to do. And this story is a shining example of that. He shared it at our June 2025 open mic storytelling event at Apothecary Espresso and Coffee in Farmington. Here's Salah.
A few years ago, I was just chilling with friends. I got roped in somehow into this trip to the Sleeping Bear Dunes in northern Michigan. Big mistake, because as it turns out, very big mistake. It's a beautiful day. No, a single cloud in the sky. World's hottest day of the year.
And not an ounce of shade, nothing at all. Yeah.
And
you were on mounds of sand.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I didn't know we were going to the dunes until we were in the area.
Wow.
So I was wearing exactly what I'm wearing now. Jeans.
Oh, my.
T-shirts. Oh. Undershirt under it, because I tend to do that.
Oh, my God.
And we get there. I'm like, wait, guys, where are we? Because I was asleep in the car, right? So
when you got in the car, what was the pretense? What were people? Did you just get in cars and like, guys, going somewhere? I'll go with you.
Generally, yeah. But I mean, I was told we were going on a camping trip in Interlochen, Michigan, just a little bit south of Travis.
Got it.
So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. I woke up. I see desert around me. I'm like, all right, am I in Saudi Arabia or am I in Michigan? I thought Michigan was snow and all that.
Right.
So we get out of the car. We all had water packed, or at least they did, and they had like a case of water for all of us to take. Unfortunately, none of us but one brought water, and he had a backpack, so he did bring a few. Thank God. And you want to know why I say thank God? We go straight to the hell of it. To get into it, we go over this giant sand cliff. I'm talking, it took us at least like 45 minutes just to get up it.
Oh my God.
I'm dying because I was not physically fit at the time. So like I was already tired. I wanted to go home after that. Mm-hmm. But they're like, all right, let's keep it going. So I just put on my most stoic face that I could. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. This is going to be a story for the ages. And oh, I had one. So after that, I'm walking and the whole thing is the sand. And if you're not used to it, then like, your feet will hurt, everything's tired. So I was getting tired very fast and like, yeah, and I couldn't move very fast at the time anyway. So we're walking and walking and walking and I need a lot of water to do whatever.
Everyone needs water in that situation.
Not just that, I have a medical thing that I don't sweat.
Shut up.
No.
You are kidding me.
Not at all, I didn't have a drop of sweat on me that whole time.
My God.
And like, so I was,
what's that medical condition called?
I don't know.
Okay, never bothered to Google it, but that's extremely deadly situation.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And I'll explain how it was. As we're going, the just walking around, I'm like, all right, I need to get to like now to Lake Michigan. And that problem is that's about a 3-hour walk to it from over that cliff where I'm already cooked. So we're walking and walking and walking, and you're not gonna believe this, but we're also walking. And then bastards, they're like taking a break while I'm still walking, and they're recording a video of me like a mile away just walking, playing Burn, Burn, Burn the Ring of Fire, like that Johnny Cash song. I forget what it's called.
Gosh, yeah.
Yes.
Ring of Fire, yeah.
Oh my God.
The bastards, right?
Right.
And I'm suffering, and it gets to the point where like all the water is drained because I did drink it all out of my friend's backpack.
Oh my God.
And everyone's suffering. Everyone's in the bad mood. The tendons in the front of my hip, tired. I could barely lift my knees in front of me to keep going, but I did. And when it's about 30 minutes out, like I have my shirt off, wrapped around my head, I'm burnt like a crisp, which is a bit frustrating because I never really got sunburned up until that point. And
never got sunburned in your life up to that point?
Hmm?
And you were from the Middle East.
Yeah, I used to be brown. I lost my color. We're walking, and then I'm just so tired, I can't like keep going. So I grab with my left hand, grab onto one guy, his shoulder, right hand, grab with the right hand on another one, and they're pulling me forward, and it's such to the point that like my eyes were open, but like my sight is black. I was like blacking in and out, and I would like fall forward and catch myself.
Oh my goodness.
And then finally we get to Lake Michigan. I have never had water that was so refreshingly cold. This was the best tasting water I've ever had in my life. I took my shirt off, I pulled my pants down, obviously I kept my drawers on, my underwear.
Yeah.
I took my shoes and socks off, stuffed it, left my wallet in the shoe, or no, I gave it to my friend to put with my stuff. I like just flopped on the ground, crawled into the lake, and maybe went in like 30 feet deep, and I'm like spread eagle, face down, chugging the water.
Oh my goodness.
Chugging.
Chugging Lake Michigan.
Chugging Lake Michigan. Oh, it's probably still a little bit lower than it was before. But it was bad.
Oh,
and after about 8 minutes of that, pull my head up, going back down, just going, drinking, and cooling off. And then I sit up, sitting, cooling down, embracing the sun. And I'm so tired by the end of it, I can't even get up and walk. I crawl back out. I grab my shirt, tuck it under my head, take a nap. And that's what all of us did because we were so all goddamn cooked. Mm-hmm. So about 2 hours later, that would have been about 2:30 p.m.
Oh, so you're getting into the really extra bad heat now.
Extra bad. I put my clothes on, we get ready, and I'm like frowning the whole time because I don't want to do it. I want
to
go.
You have to go back through the whole thing you just...
Through the whole thing.
Right.
It was genuinely terrible. It was worse on the way back. We're going, and about an hour into it, or like 45 minutes, I'm like, where's my wallet?
Oh my.
And dumb boy, Ben, left it. He left it on the beach.
Oh.
So I had to run as fast as my like capable legs would take me. And I got there in about like 20 minutes. Thank God I went as fast as I possibly could. And then grabbed my wallet. It took me like 20 minutes to find it as well.
Oh my.
Grabbed it, went back to him. I'm like, one, you're an idiot. Two, thank God I found it. Cause really? Like I had a lot of the funding for the like camping trip. Mm-hmm. Like I got groceries, a help with gas, like a lot of things. Yep. It would have been very bad if I did lose that. Anyways, we're walking back. No, everyone's crabby. Nobody's talking to each other. My phone died, but while I was walking around, like before it died, I was playing that, you know, the stereotypical Egyptian music, like that, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was just playing that in my pocket. So if you got close to me, you just hear Egyptian music. And
why were you playing that?
Because I needed to find humor in the situation. Because if I didn't, then I'll...
You're dead.
I was dead.
Oh my God.
So we're walking, nobody's in a good mood, and we go back through the... Probably the hardest part of this, we call it the devil's toilet seat, because it was a giant, probably about a half of a mile in like from point A to point B, and it's a giant circle where it's a dip, and then you have to climb back up.
Wow.
But you have to go through it, like yeah. You can't really go around it because right. It's so out of the way.
Right.
So we're like, so we do try not to fall through this like forest at a, you know, 75 degree angle.
Oh my goodness.
I do fall. And I'm tumbling down, but I missed all the trees, thank God. It's a relatively controlled fall.
Uh-huh.
So as I'm tumbling, I'm like, oh, shade, perfect. So I just sit and I just put my arms behind my head. I relax. I take like a quick nap, like 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And they're doing something. I don't know. I knew where to go. They knew where to go. So like we weren't worried about it. And then I'm like, all right, where are they? So I was walking and finally a concrete path, a normal path at the very bottom of these dunes. So I follow it in the general direction I was supposed to go. And then I see this little area where there's bathrooms, water fountains. I rubbed my eyes to make sure it wasn't a mirage.
Are you serious?
I did. I mean, like, I was afraid.
Wow. You couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I pinched myself to make double sure. But as soon as, like, I go there, I see them just splashing their face with water, drinking it, like living the dream. I'm like, oh, lucky bastard. So I go, same thing, drink a hell of a lot of water, go to the bathroom, and then we make it to the car. And we all mutually agreed, we are never doing this again. And all in all, it was like 32,000 steps. We burned like just out of activity alone, like a little over 2,000 calories.
Oh my goodness.
And to reward ourselves for our absolute hell, we decided, let's go to the McDonald's. Because what is it you would do than treat yourself to Mac-U's after absolute hell?
It's a quick way to get those 2,000 calories back.
Oh, I got them back. You want to know what I did? Yeah. I went to the kiosk. I ordered my things. I thought it was a perfectly reasonable amount of things. It totaled out to about 40-something dollars, like $43.
Oh, my God, it's a McDonald's.
At McDonald's. And we sit. They don't know what I ordered. I was at a separate kiosk, and I sat down first. Their food comes first, because I had the biggest order. Everyone has their food. They're starting to eat, and I'm sitting just staring at the table because my phone's dead, so I have nothing better to do. And then like two people carrying my trays come out.
It took two people.
So it was about six of us, like not including me. Every single person had a look of horror on their face. Genuine terror, genuine, like not disgust, but like flabbergasted. They didn't know what to say. And the reason why is they saw on these trays, two Big Macs, one quarter pounder, two large fries, four pies, two drinks. What's the largest chicken nugget size? It was that one.
Probably like 36 or something, I don't know.
Okay, that, and I can't even imagine eating that much food now, but all of that, and I'm a bit of a quick eater, but I was a little bit extra ravenous. So we sit down, they have their food, they're already crunching, one of them is already like halfway done. I get my food, I'm destroying it. I finished all my burgers, all my fries, my drinks, pies, chicken nuggets, all of it before most of them finished their food. And I finished at the same time as the one that finished halfway by the time I got my food.
Oh my goodness.
To this day, they tell the story to people that haven't met me. If somebody hears about me, they hear that story.
As that precedes you.
When I came back to the country to somebody asking me about that.
Are you serious?
Because they didn't need me before. They just heard about me.
You're like a legend.
I have a few reasons for that, but yeah. I suppose I am.
Oh my
and
God.
Like they tell that story to this day that they could not believe how much I ordered, the expense of it, and how fast I ate it. And to this day, you know what? That's the best food I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
So in the end, you did have the best refreshing, most refreshing drink and the most refreshing food of your life.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, dude, it made it worth it. And you know what? Sometimes we think maybe we could do it again. And just maybe I'll treat myself to Mackey's again because it's never hit the same since.
Salah Hadeen. He shared that story at our June 2025 open mic storytelling event at Apothecary Espresso and Coffee in Farmington. Special thanks to Drake Ficarra from Apothecary for setting up that open mic. You'll be hearing more stories from that show in future episodes of My Michigan Story for sure. If you'd like to see My Michigan Story live and in person, we'll be coming back to Apothecary Espresso and Coffee in Farmington on July 23rd at 5:30 p.m. We'll also be in Wyandotte on July 10th at 7:30 at River's Edge Gallery, and we're coming to Ramshackle Brewing Company in Jonesville on July 16th at 7 p.m. All that information and more details are available on our website. That's also where you can subscribe to our e-newsletter and find out when we'll be coming to a town near you. The sign-up form is at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. If you'd like to host a My Michigan Story open mic in your town, shoot us a message on our website or at story@mymichiganstory.com. That's also how you can submit your true story from Michigan. The rules are that the story needs to be true, it needs to have happened to you, and it needs to have happened in Michigan. Other than that, I'm flexible. Thanks. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Children have a charming but dangerous fascination with jamming things into other things to see if they'll fit. I'm not sure why evolution seems to have selected for this, but it's certainly fueling the multi-million dollar plastic power outlet cover industry. Our next storyteller discovered just how serious and nonsensical this can get when her three-year-old sister's head started making a strange noise. I interviewed Adriana Sanchez about this story at my home in Alto, Michigan. And I would like to preface this story by apologizing for my incredibly loud laugh. I don't know where I got it from. No one else in my family has a laugh like this, and I can't stop it. Some people have called it infectious, and yes, I do think it is infectious, like pink eye. Anyway, here's Adriana. So this happened just a couple months ago?
Yeah, just a couple months ago. It was late at night, too. So it was on a Wednesday. My little sister was at home. She's three. Mm-hmm. So she's still small, curious, super curious about life. And in the morning, we have my aunt has a little dog. They live in the basement area of our house. And they have a little dog. They ask us to like take it out sometimes so he can run, you know, and play and stuff. And he was playing with one of my little sister's toys. Comes the time that I get home. And my sister was sleeping when I was at home. So I just got busy doing other stuff.
Is this the afternoon or something?
Yeah, this was afternoon. So I got home around 7 and she was sleeping, which was weird because she never falls asleep during that time. She wakes up around 10 and comes into my room.
And 10 p.m.
10 p.m. And she's like, Nyanya, because that's what she calls me. That's my name. She's like, Nyanya, escucha, like, listen. And she shook her head. And she would shake her head. And all you could hear was cling, 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 cling. And I was so confused. And I was like, where's that coming from? Mind you, she wears like earrings, like kind of like mine, so they're a little long. They dangle a little bit. So my first instinct was to cover her ears and like, to like stop her earrings from moving.
Right.
And I told her, shake it again. And you could still hear it. And when she was doing that, her mouth was closed. So I was like, open your mouth. And she opened her mouth and it was louder. The sound was louder. So I was like, got it. Her tooth.
Right.
And I went with my mom and I was like, hey, mom, like, Alexa has something in her mouth. Her tooth is loose or something. Can you check it? Because I don't know why I didn't check it, but I was just like, can you check it? I check her ear and it's not coming from like inside her ear. I thought maybe like a bean or something had got stuck inside her ear. And that's what was shaky. It wasn't her ear.
Because it is a three-year-old and now you're just like, okay.
It's something.
She jammed something somewhere maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it was our second instinct when it wasn't her teeth, because my mom checked her teeth and it wasn't her teeth. So then my sister comes with her side of the story. So before I had gotten home, I guess it was like around 5, my sister was playing around in the living room. My little sister Alexa had fallen or something. My big sister Andrea heard a thud in the living room, and my Alexa came with Andrea crying that something hurt by her nose. I guess my sister didn't see anything and thought maybe like she had fallen and hit her nose or something. So like we do like sana sana colita rana, which is just like, it'll be okay, kind of like massaging the area and like just assuring her that it will be okay.
Uh-huh.
And she told us that story when we were looking. So then we were like, her nose, right? Because she told us something had happened around her nose, that she had said that her nose hurt. And I guess they did something and it stopped hurting. I tell my mom, I can't see anything up her nose. Let me go get a little light. And I grab one of the flashlights. As I go grab one of the flashlights in my mom's room, my little sister Alexa leaves to the living room and grabs the stuffed animal. Before that, she used to say ojo, which ojo means eye.
Right.
And we're like, but there's nothing in your eye. Like, why do you say ojo? So she brings the stuffed animal and she points at the eye on the stuffed animal. And she's like, ojo. And then I get the flashlight and I look up her nose. and the googly eye is stuck up in her nose.
So somehow the eye had come off the stuffed animal.
Remember the dog I told you in the morning? The dog was playing with a stuffed animal. And I'm guessing like she pulled the googly eye off the dog because it's something where Alexa couldn't have pulled it off. I wish my sister could articulate a lot better of her thought process of putting that googly eye up in her nose. Because all we could think was, why would you put that up there?
How big was it? It must have been a pretty small googly eye, right? Because it's a little kid.
It was like the size of my nail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the nail size, I guess.
All right. Maybe less than a centimeter-ish or about there.
Yeah, I measured it and I think it was like a centimeter and a half.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty big.
So she really worked to put that thing up there.
Yeah, and I think in the moment, like maybe she fell or hit or something. Because it was all the way up because it hurt her.
Oh.
She was crying because it was halfway through her nose.
Uh-huh.
And once it was up by her like septum, I think, I don't know, what's this area called?
Yeah,
behind, like
know.
Her nasal spot?
Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like up behind her tissue, that's where it was comfortable. So she stopped crying because it didn't hurt anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we were there like thinking, how are we going to get this out? My first thought was tweezers.
Yeah.
And once my little sister, Alexa, heard tweezers, she started crying. She's like, no, not the tweezers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, dude, we got to like get it out, you know? She's like, no, no, no. And my mom was kind of like, what do we do? Like, you know, will it come out naturally? So we started like closing one of her nostrils and telling her to blow out.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying. And she was like, you know, trying so hard. You could see how hard she was trying, but it just wouldn't come out.
Oh, poor kid.
Because it was so stuck up in there. Yeah. It didn't hurt her, which was good because she was in no pain. She wasn't crying.
Good.
But the part where it was pain, it was just like the process of going up her nose.
Yeah. Like that, the narrow part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was up there vertically. So it wasn't horizontally. Uh-huh. So it was vertically. So that wasn't stopping her from breathing, which is good too, because that's the one thing that we worried. Like, is this stopping her, like, her from breathing? But no, because when she would blow out, like, you could hear the air coming out
in
her nostril. So I went to go grab the tweezers. I played around with her, like putting the tweezer up my nose, kind of like to show her that it was okay. You know,
all right.
I was like, hey, I got it up my
Look
nose.
How fun this is.
Yeah. And she would laugh, you know, just like funny noises. So then I came to her turn and she's like, no, 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 no. And I
meanwhile, is it rattling every time she says no?
Yeah. And then we're like, and then we
click,
were
click,
like,
click,
Alexa, do it again. And she's like,
okay.
So we're here with my mom sitting down in the kitchen. And it's almost like 11, almost 12. And my mom's like, it's almost time to go to sleep. And I told her, I was like, Alexa can't sleep with that in her nose.
Yeah.
Because my thinking, I was like, if she goes to sleep with it and like she's laying down and she's breathing, it could go through like her esophagus because we have like our mucus like
right
kind of travels like
it's
that.
It's not going to get any better.
No,
for sure.
Exactly. And so I was like, Mom, you don't want to wait for anything to happen, in her, especially in her sleep. So we went downtown to the Children's Hospital, which is great because there was nobody in there.
Yeah, great. Everyone else is asleep while you guys are jamming googly eyes up your nose.
So we get checked in and everything. The first staff that like checks my sister's vitals and everything is bilingual. So it was kind of cool because my sister was like, listen, I would shake her head to the physician checking her in and doing her vitals. Then they put us in the little emergency rooms.
Right.
And they told us like a doctor would get with us and everything. So the process that the doctor decided to do was like a little, almost like a syringe kind of thing. But it doesn't inject or anything. But at the end of the little like syringe type device, it has this little balloon that once she clicks on like to inflate, it will pull the object with it. So that was the first thing that she told us to do. And my sister was cooperating because she was watching Hotel Transylvania. So she was pretty calm. We laid her down and she kind of like understood what was going to happen because we kind of explained it to her. Mm-hmm. So she was okay with the situation. We didn't really have to like hold her down, which was great. But once the doctor went up, and I guess it was so in the back that she couldn't get anywhere behind it. And then they ended up poking her tissue in the back of her nose.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, so she poked the tissue and it made her nose start bleeding. That's where it was like her crying, her not wanting to like have anybody go near her. And I don't blame her because anything up the nose. Like, if you remember COVID tests?
Yeah.
And they would, like, stick that up way up your nose.
Ugh. Yeah, it is super uncomfortable, yeah.
Exactly. So I didn't blame her anything. And the doctor tried to try again because she didn't want to, like, get up in there. She's like, no, actually, let me go get some, like, alligator clips, I guess, or tweezers or something. Mm-hmm. But they called them, like, alligator something because they have, like, a little, like, snot. And she said, let me try this. And she brought the clips and tried to take my little sister's, the googly eye out again, but we were having a hard time holding her down.
And, that's so rough. Yeah.
So we had the nurse holding her head. Mm-hmm. We had the doctor trying to take it out. My mom was grabbing her legs.
Oh.
And I was trying to, like, you know, like, hey, Alexa, to meet me, just emotional support. It'll be okay.
And she's like screaming up a storm probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I had Play-Doh, which is her kryptonite. And I was like, Alexa, if you stay still, I'll give you Play-Doh, which helped because then she was willing to stay a little bit down, so it wasn't as much force. So I gave her Play-Doh, you know, and everything. And she was doing okay, but then I guess it just hurt too much. And the doctor was like, we have to give her relaxers. I don't know what it's called. It's a medication.
Like, almost like a tranquilizer, but some sort of depressant.
But for kids.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then comes another difficult part because that medicine is 3 tubes of liquid medicine.
Oh.
And she already didn't want the syringe up in her nose.
Yeah.
So we gave her the first tube. She didn't want it. So we almost had to, like, force her to, like, drink it. I kind of, like, gave her Play-Doh. She kind of drank it. It took a while. The second one, she, like, drank a little bit and then spit the rest out. And then the last one, we were finally able to, like, after the third try, you know, she drank the whole thing. So she had 2 out of 3 tubes of the medication. And we were just waiting for it to have an effect on her. And then she started getting loopy.
What was that like? Because she only speaks Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then her first words were, ¿Por qué, doctor? Dio eso medicina. Like, why did the doctor give me medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was followed up by a lot of laughter. And then she was just cracking up. And a lot of, like, phrases that would start and not end. And then having her, like, not even being able to hold her head. Like, she was, like, unbalanced.
Uh-huh.
And then we started laughing, and then she kept laughing.
What a ridiculous, crazy thing.
Our little 3-year-old sister was high. She was having a fun trip.
Yeah, nice. Good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's getting relaxed, and we're just playing around. She was just saying, like, she would move her head again, and then she would laugh. She'd laugh at herself with a little noise.
With the rattling, yeah.
Yeah. So then the doctor takes a while, waits for the medication to settle in, and tries again.
Mm-hmm.
This little dude was strong.
Wow.
She still kept moving.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She didn't have, like, her force that she had.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, she is a farm kid. So she was so strong. She, like, still wanted to move and everything. The doctor was still having a hard time. This is the fourth time I think the doctor was in trying to get it out. So the doctor resorted to getting a different doctor. He finally came in. It took a while, but he was persistent on it, and he was able to get a hold of it and actually pull it out.
Wow.
Once we pulled it out, she was just, like, quiet. And she still moved her head. And she couldn't hear the noise.
She was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So then how does your sister, like, explain this situation? Or did she talk about it later?
She does say, yo nariz. And she just shakes her head. And she remembers.
Adriana Sanchez. I interviewed her about that experience at my home in Alto, Michigan. Thanks so much for listening to this pilot episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince. Special thanks to the wonderful folks at WKAR for helping to get this show off the ground, especially Sean Turner and Ashley Smith. My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. My Michigan Story open mics will be coming to Wyandotte, Jonesville, and Farmington this month. Check out our live event schedule on our website. Remember, I can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So submit your story today at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Thanks.